Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time for the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Dude, we are streaming at 680thefan.com. Dudettes, you got to get the mobile app. Listen anywhere, anytime. And everybody, you can listen on a smart speaker if you have one of those. Is somebody listening to you on that thing? That is brought to you by South Point Financial Services. Buck Belue Show, sponsored by our good friends at Wellstar Health System. And that 10 o'clock hour on The Fan, brought to you by the Haug Law Group. How about that locker room show? I thought Finn was on top of his game today. Yeah, Finn putting in five quality days work here on The Fan. Okay. Good job, Finn.
Thank you very much. Five is what is in my contract. It's part of the reason I pulled off.
You guys are kicking butt, man. Great lead in here to the Buck Belue Show. By the way, on that streaming thing, you can actually click and watch. Hey, everybody. We got Nernie in. He's our fabulous engineer. Nerns, do we have a producer today?
Negative. Oh, no, yeah, we do. Jordan's here. Friday.
Jordan D. Armand in the house today. Jordan, how are you? How's your week been?
Hey, it's been good. 6-0, baby.
I saw you've been on social media a little bit this week.
Yeah, people aren't very happy with me, but I'm going to stick by my opinion.
Aaron Murray and Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett has been more impactful for the university. I don't want to hear stats.
Okay, no stats.
I want a natty. I don't care about being statistical king.
Dadgummit, I didn't wear the championship ring again today.
Fuck.
What am I thinking? Yeah, I'm going to blame it on getting up in that 5 o'clock hour again this morning. We got a lot going on. In fact, this show has a lot going on. We better get to work.
Bucks. Big. Take.
Braves country, I'm talking to you. We get a rematch with the Dodgers and another shot at the World Series. Remember last year's NLCS? I know you do. We let a 3-1 series lead get away, and L.A. went on to win their first title since 1988. Couple of thoughts. One, we are a better team this year compared to the team a year ago. Number two, in the last three decades of Major League Baseball, only two organizations have been able to win back-to-back World Series titles. It's tough. It's hard. There's a burden that a world champion has to carry that wears these teams out during the course of the year. Now, look, everyone is going to pick the Dodgers. Without considering that burden I just mentioned. They've been carrying that around since October. Probably partying down a little more, too. And the fact that doing the back-to-back thing, the fact is, doing the back-to-back thing is as rare as, say, Bill Belichick having a good belly laugh. Me and Mark DeRosa will be the only ones picking the Braves to advance to the World Series. I've got the Braves taking down the Dodgers in six. Hashtag for the A.
All right, go Braves.
And do I need to mention, pat myself on the back for calling the NLDS correctly with the Braves winning in four? Nernie, they won in four, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah, so I got that one right. So I'm going to go for this one, too. Braves in six, baby. Don't you just love it? Everybody's stunned. Are you kidding me? Beat the Dodgers? What are you talking about, Belue? Have you lost your mind? I believe we've got a real opportunity of winning the first two games. I mean, think about the Dodgers. This is a quick turnaround for L.A. They got to play here tomorrow night. So I think that's going to factor into to it a little bit also. Our rotation is set. We'll talk about it a little later in the show. There's some reasons to believe in our Atlanta Braves. Want to talk about Jordan Davis, Big 99, for a moment. I was stunned. Just researching for the show on the computer overnight, and ran across the Lombardi list, which is, I believe, the Houston Rotary Club out in Houston, Texas, presents this award every year, the Lombardi Trophy. David Pollack won this thing a few years ago. Well, the Rotary Club Lombardi Award list, they released their 12 semifinalists last night. And do you know that Big 99 Jordan Davis is not one of the 12 semifinalists? Talk about looking foolish. Hashtag, are you paying attention? My goodness, how can this be? Now, normally I don't get all riled up about these awards because it's all about winning is what it's about. All right, winning a championship, that's what the focus is on. You know, these individual awards, football is not about individuals. It's about 11 on 11. It's a team. But this one's got me a little fired up here. The Lombardi Award. Great reputation. Have these guys fallen asleep? Jordan Davis, not even on a 12-player list. Now, if you'd have said a 3-player list, I would say, okay, yeah, so you underappreciated Jordan coming into the year. I get it. But 12 semifinalists, and Jordan Davis is not a part of it? You're just not paying attention. Now, Bucks beat this week. I believe it's episode 36. I brought on Chuck Smith, hashtag Dr. Rush. Chuck Smith, former Atlanta Falcon and Tennessee Volunteer, had him on there on the podcast breaking down the Georgia defensive line. And you know where we started? We started with Jordan Davis. And I asked Chuck, does he expect Jordan Davis to be a first-round pick?
Jordan Davis, on my board, he's a top 10 NFL draft pick. He's a franchise. He's a franchise changer because you put him in the middle, instantly he stops the run. And the thing that makes him quite unique, and a lot of credit, in my opinion, goes to Coach Trey and Dan Lanning, is the fact that they created a pass rush culture. And Jordan at one time was just a big guy. It was a run stuffer. Now he's added, you know, multiple different moves. He uses swipes with his hands. He uses rips. I see him swimming. So I think Jordan is really, to me, he's a top 10 NFL draft pick on my board.
Yeah, and Lombardi, I guess you're totally unaware of this, that he was going to be a top of the first round draft pick. We're talking about a man 6'6", 350 pounds, that is running down ball carriers from the inside out, from the nose tackle spot all the way to the sideline. Jordan Davis, to me, is the man coming into this year. By the way, the Bucks Beat podcast, you can hear the entire interview with Chuck Smith talking about Adam Anderson, Nolan Smith, about this Georgia defensive line. I am doing a deep dive before Chuck comes on about the quarterback situation at Georgia and how this offense changes when it goes from JT Daniels to Stetson Bennett. The sponsor of Bucks Beat is Mickey Himes and the Get Mickey team at Keller Williams. If you're looking for a Lake Lanier property or a home up 400, Mickey is the man.
Buck, did you see the NIL deal that Jordan Davis had just signed? He put it on Twitter yesterday. Morgan & Morgan, the personal injury folks, has a giant billboard at number 99 showing the bicep off, and it says the tagline, size matters.
Am I over the top with this, Nerney? I mean, could you come up with a list of 12 linemen in college football that doesn't include Jordan Davis?
No, I mean, if you're looking at interior defensive line, I mean, he's if he's not 1A, he's 1B. I mean, you got Breezy from Clemson; he's on that list too. Those are
the top two for the year,
right? Those are the top two interior defensive linemen in the country.
Yeah, so I just don't get it, man. I mean, if you're going to hand out one of these, as they call it, prestigious awards, don't you have to pay attention? I'm just saying. You look dumbfounded, Jordan.
Well, I am. I mean, I don't understand. People are saying that this defense is historically one of the best to ever do it, and you don't have one Georgia player on the list?
Seriously. What's going on?
I don't get it.
No respect, I guess, is what it is. All right, coming back on the other side, we're going to chop it up, talk Braves and Dodgers. Plus, do you know there's a SEC coach that may not be holding on to the job through the weekend? We'll tell you who that is coming up next. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
And 680 and 93.7. The Buck Belue Show on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. Thank you so much for listening Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. And if you're busy between 10 and 11, don't forget you can always catch up with the show with the Buck Belue Show podcast. That Fan mobile app, or check out 680thefan.com. They'll get you hooked up. Listen anywhere, anytime. And we appreciate you very much. It's been a busy night, man. Stayed up late last night watching Dodgers and Giants. Saw the last inning in the bed. Everybody else was asleep by then. And, you know, I sort of expected it to be the Dodgers. As a matter of fact, as you heard me yesterday on the show, I was hoping it would be the Dodgers. A couple of reasons why: we get the first two games at home. I believe they caught an all-nighter into Atlanta here last night, into the wee hours of the morning. So we got a packed house. We got a rotation set. There's a lot to be encouraged about. Come on, the Dodgers aren't unbeatable. Tell you what, let's just chop it up here on the show right now.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Let's review game one of the NLCS set for tomorrow night at Truist Park. That is first pitch, 8:07. Better rest up while you can. Secure your seat. You can get tickets right now at Braves.com/tickets. You might want to get a move on. You want to get in the house for this one tomorrow night. The Fans' NLCS preview show tonight from 6 to 7, and that's going to be live in the Battery Atlanta on the Georgia Power Pavilion stage, right where you get all that green grass right in front of the stage. You got a chance to win tickets. You got to be there, I believe. Isn't it, Nernie? You got to be there to win them? That makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
All right, a quick turnaround for L.A. Our Braves are rested, and they're going to have the support of 41,000 strong at Truist Park here Saturday and Sunday. I believe the Braves have a real opportunity to jump out to a 2-0 lead on the Dodgers, which would be awesome. Let's hear from Snit, Braves manager, saying he doesn't believe they're underdogs.
You got to be doing pretty good to get in the last four. You know, I mean, we're after tonight, there's going to be four teams of the 30 left. So I think you need to be pretty proud of yourself, and I don't know that there is any underdogs.
Yeah, no underdogs at this point in time. Come on, man. Going to beat up on those Dodgers. Let's hear from Snit talking about how the Braves' rotation will break down.
We haven't decided what we're going to do yet there. But, no, it did. It was, you know, like I said, I didn't want this thing to get over and Charlie still be in my pocket. You know, something happens and we don't pitch him and Max goes seven. And, you know, and he was, like I say, he was all for it. It was good. I mean, you know, I hope to get four. I said, you know, if you get three and it's enough, then that's okay. And like I said, it wasn't any expectation, and he did exactly what we wanted him to do.
All right, game one. Braves hadn't announced anything, but look, Max Fried gets the start. You can trust me on this one. Starting game one tomorrow night. And Fried has been outstanding the last couple of months of the season. When Snit hands Max the ball, everybody on that Braves team will believe he's going out throwing a beauty and will get the Braves a victory. Dodgers, I guess, would go with Bueller. Hello, Blue Bueller. Game two, though, is when it starts to get interesting. Didn't Scherzer close out the game last night? So is he going to turn around and pitch game two? It certainly won't be Urias. Urias went, what, four innings last night? He's not pitching game two. So the Dodgers now can't wait to see how this unfolds with the Dodgers. I would imagine we're going to see Ian Anderson going in game two here at home at Truist Park on Sunday. And that means we would give the ball to Charlie Morton on regular rest to lead off the games in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium. Right, you'd rather have Ian Anderson going here at home, being a young, got some experience a year ago, but being young here in front of the home fans. You got Morton, the chiseled veteran, the confident veteran, starting game one, game three, that is, out in Los Angeles. I think that's the way it'll probably shake down. But who knows? Beyond that, I mean, do we go Enoa and or Smiley in game four? Will it be one of those opener bullpen kind of games in game four? Very interesting. What will it be? No Max Muncy, by the way. Dinged up for the Dodgers. He's been a Braves killer here over the last couple of years, so there's another part of this that tilts toward the Braves' way. Looking forward to it, man. This is going to be awesome. We weren't expected to be here, but look at us now, baby. We're chopping it up, talking about getting to the World Series. And there you go. That's us chopping it up for you. Chopping it up.
Buck, did Flores, did he check a swing there in the ninth inning or not? Look to me like he checked the swing.
You know, as soon as they rung him up, I turned the TV off and went to sleep. I didn't see the replay. What did it look like?
Oh, it looked like he checked his swing. I was asleep, too. I just got the replay this morning.
Yeah, I didn't see the replay. I just said, okay, Dodgers won. Good night.
It's going to be an interesting offseason for MLB umpires, I feel like.
Yeah, they need to get together on some of this stuff. I mean, let's get it right on what's reviewable and what's not. I mean, baseball, come on, we got to get it right. What in the world? Hey, man, let's get to some college football.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Hey, some of the boys at the coffee shop this week, they're talking like Alabama's reign is over. I mean, one loss, and Alabama's done. They're cooked. Terrible. I mean, that's what I keep hearing. The reign is over. Well, to borrow a phrase from ESPN Game Day's Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends. That loss to A&M, in my mind, will only make the Alabama Crimson Tide a tougher team and tougher to beat. I mean, Saban's finally got these guys' attention. So I expect Alabama to come back strong this weekend, taking on Mississippi State. Roll Tide, roll. Alabama, I see, is a 17-point favorite over Hale State and Starkville. And this is one of my picks of the week. Alabama minus 17, no problema. This is a 41-14 game. Alabama totally will outclass Mississippi State. Now, I know, look, Mississippi State's going to throw like 50 passes 5 yards down the field. And at the end of the game, the stat sheet's going to say, wow, look at Mississippi State. They threw for 300 yards. Right, and the long pass was like 7 yards. Alabama's going to rock and roll in this one. This is one of my picks of the week. I'm going Alabama minus the 17. Won't even think twice about that one. Pick number two. That will come in the Ole Miss-Tennessee game. Volunteers are a 2.5-point underdog in Knoxville. And I totally believe they're going to need more than 2.5 points if you're going to take the Tennessee Volunteers, man. That seems a little bit crazy. I've got Ole Miss winning a high-scoring game, 38-30, something along those lines. And that will cover that 2.5-point spread. So I'm going Ole Miss with my second pick of the week. Ole Miss minus the 2.5 on the road against Tennessee. And I won't even think twice about that one either. So Alabama minus 17, no problem. Ole Miss minus the 2.5. I think I'm something like 7-3 this year. We normally do this on Saturday morning with Steve West. I thought, though, I would reveal my picks early this week. And there you go. There are a couple of winners for you. Now, I won't bet on the games. Can't say I've ever done that. But I will risk the reputation. It's part of the fun of doing the sports talk radio thing. And there's your college football nugget. All right, I've got a source that is now telling me that there's a coach in the SEC that won't make it through the weekend. And the coach would be LSU coach Ed Orgeron.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Now, look, I appreciated the give and take with Coach O at the SEC Media Days. I think you hear that at the end of our show every day, don't we, Nerns?
Great to see you, Buck. Good to see you, Coach. Want to wish you well on the way out the door down there in Baton Rouge.
Coach O, now they ran the table. They
beat Alabama
a couple of years ago, went 15-0, undefeated all the way through the national championship. Boy, they celebrated big time down in Cajun country. Boy, that was a long time coming for LSU. But since that time, Coach O is 8-8 as the head coach of LSU. 8-8 after a 15-0 national championship season. And you might have noticed here recently over the last couple of weeks, you're seen to use a wrestling term or one of these fight terms. Coach O,
we got a lot of guys tapping out.
Down there with the Tigers. Man, they got guys tapping out left and right down there. I mean, the latest, you got the best receiver in the SEC, Kayshon Boutte. Dude's out for the season. Now, he's got an ankle injury, but you got some other guys that apparently are tapping out that would be able to come back. They see the handwriting on the wall. This team has quit on Coach O. Coach O, you can see it last Saturday, the expression on his face, not one of hope and achievement. It's like seeing the handwriting on the wall that his days are coming to an end in Baton Rouge.
We'll probably go get a ham sandwich or maybe some boudin or something.
I mean, there's some things they're not too proud of going on off the field at LSU. I mean, it appears to be a program a little bit out of control. And why would they fire him in the middle of the year? Well, so they can get at the front of the line when it comes to hiring a new head coach. I mean, there's a lot to like from the outside looking in. But right now, LSU's a mess.
Buck, what do they do? They go you think you can track Joe Brady back down to LSU after he tucked tail and ran for Carolina? Or is he settled in too much in the NFL? I mean, hell, the way Carolina's performing this year, he may get a head coaching job in the NFL at some point.
Yeah, that's a good question, Nerns. I'm not sure what his focus is on. Is it becoming a, you know, he interviewed for NFL jobs this past season. Seemed to happen a little quick for him, by the way. So I don't know if he looks at himself when he looks in the mirror, if he sees an NFL coach or a head coach with a big-time college program. I'm not sure what he wants to do. I don't know enough about Joe Brady to figure that part of it out.
Urban Meyer, maybe?
Yeah, I think he's the next guy maybe fired down there in Jacksonville. Okay, where's that blonde at? Yeah, exactly. You know, I think he really should have been fired when he didn't fly back with the team. And
that's,
I think,
the weirdest part about it.
Tony Dungy, how about him? He's been involved with the NFL almost like 40 years as a player, an assistant coach, as a head coach, and now as a commentator, as an analyst. He says he's never once heard of a head coach not flying back with his team.
I mean, unless it was, you know, if there was something medically, you know, or an emergency with the family, I can understand, but you went to your bar.
Yeah, seriously.
Without your family.
I mean, the nerve of this guy. I would say if you're going to try to rate egos out there in the sports world, I'd put Urban Meyer number one on the list. Biggest ego in NFL football. And there are a few of them there. And that's just based on the way I've seen him handle the media comes to mind. I used to go during the Georgia-Florida game afterwards. They're under the stadium. They had a big meeting room with a Georgia coach. Would meet with the media, and at the same time, right down the hallway, you'd have Urban Meyer, when he was the head coach of the Gators, meeting right down the hallway. So I'd listen to some of Mark Richt, and then I would walk down the hallway, sit in and hear some of Urban Meyer, and I have never seen anybody outside of Bill Belichick treat the media like this. In fact, it was like Urban Meyer would search out the youngest reporter in the room and wait on them to ask a question, and then he would berate them for like 3, 4, 5 minutes.
And that's not surprising. I feel like you get that vibe from him even being around him.
What a jerk. I'll just say it right here. What a jerk.
I don't think he has the locker room and control down there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, nor is he an NFL coach.
They're breaking the, you know, the positional, you know, practice. You know, you huddle up and 1, 2, 3 team, whatever. Let's go get water. They're doing 1, 2, 3 grind.
Yeah. Yeah, and how about what he did? Now, they drafted Travis Etienne, the running back out of Clemson. And what did Urban Meyer do? He tried to make him a wide receiver.
Yeah, he also tried to make Tim Tebow a tight end.
I feel bad for Trevor Lawrence being hooked up with Urban Meyer. I mean, talk about opposite ends of the spectrum. You got, like, one of the nicest guys out there in Trevor Lawrence. And he's working under the biggest jerk in sports. And Urban Meyer. I feel bad for Trevor. And I feel bad for Kentucky, too. I feel bad for Kentucky. Nerney, let's go ahead and hit that Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game.
Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Another big game in Athens between the Hedges, Dooley Field, Sanford Stadium. Kentucky shows up 6-0, ranked number 11 in college football. Georgia, 21.5-point favorite, betting people. You probably were already aware of that, 21.5. And I think there's some misconception out there I wanted to clear up during the Bulldog Roundtable today. Let's hear from Kirby Smart. Now, Kirby, earlier in the week, meeting with the media, was telling everybody that was paying attention that this Kentucky defensive front would test the Georgia offensive line. Let's hear from Kirby.
They're going to face a different kind of defense this week than last week. You know, Auburn was probably a little bit undersized and really quick and athletic. These guys are big physical guys at Kentucky. They got a lot of size, a lot of different looks, too, where defensively they throw a lot of different looks at you.
All right, let me come clean on this one, all right? Now, I know Kirby's trying to build it up and get people excited and all that stuff, but he didn't mention something very important about the Kentucky defensive front, and that is they've lost two starters off the defensive line coming into this game. Octavius Oxendine was a starter playing that five technique spot, interior defensive lineman. In the LSU game, injured his leg. He's out for the season. So there's one starter done for the year, won't be playing in this game against Georgia. Now move inside to the nose tackle spot. And they had big Marquand McCall. Dude is 380 pounds.
Excuse me?
Yeah, Marquand McCall. 380 pounds. And Georgia had a little trouble with him over the previous 2 years in the matchup. Marquand McCall injured his leg, and he did not play in the LSU game. He won't play in this Georgia game. So two of the three defensive linemen for Kentucky are out of this Georgia game, won't be playing. All right, there's more here. All right, so the guys they're going to be plugging in, let's see, sophomore, freshman, redshirt freshman. These guys aren't ready to play Georgia. These guys aren't ready to beat Georgia. So this idea that Georgia's offensive line's going to get tested, I would say is a bunch of hogwash, as they say down in South Georgia. I don't know if they say that here in the big city. They've lost two of their biggest, most important defensive linemen coming into this game. This won't be the same Kentucky defensive front that you saw earlier this year. All right, let's move on to a second item as far as this Georgia-Kentucky matchup goes. Let's hear from Kirby. He's talking about this Chris Rodriguez, this Kentucky running back who really is off to an outstanding start this season. He has been a handful. Here's Kirby.
He's super physical. Dude is one of the hardest runners in our conference. His pad level, his strain, his drive, his power, it's like hitting a brick, man. He doesn't people bounce off him, and they have for years. And I told our guys, you got to get his cleats out of the ground, man, because he's not stopping. And yards after contact is why they don't have a very long second long reel. You know, their second 7-10 reel was shorter than anybody we've ever faced because they don't get in them. And he's a really thick, heavy back that you got to be a willing tackler. You know, he gets to the second level quick.
Yeah, and they also get him involved in the passing game, too. You see him running some routes like the wheel route that has been successful. Chris Rodriguez is a really outstanding football player. And when he gets a little fatigued, they put in my man Cavassier Smoke, one of the better names in the SEC. But this idea to me that Rodriguez is going to run roughshod on this Georgia defense, I think is sort of outlandish. And look, I respect the Kentucky offensive line. They've put together a good group. You got Kennard, the right tackle, a senior, big dude, preseason All-SEC. You got this Rosenthal that came in from LSU as a transfer, is a really solid left offensive tackle. But they're going to be facing the best defensive line that they've seen this season. So the idea that Kentucky's offensive line is going to win the battle against Big 99 and Wyatt and Carter and Walker is really makes me sort of chuckle. I mean, come on, man. So what's going to happen here is that the Georgia defensive front is going to win the battle against this Kentucky offensive line. They're going to stuff the run, make Kentucky one-dimensional as an offense, and Kentucky's passing game, gosh, it was better than it was because they've changed the scheme, but I would give it a B-minus maybe for the passing game. This Georgia defense is going to shut these guys down. So that's the way I'm seeing it. Now, are they going to cover the spread of 21.5? I probably wouldn't bet on that. But Georgia's going to dominate this game. 42-21, maybe something along those lines. See, what Kirby's doing, he's trying to build it up, and I understand where he's getting at. Man, I used to be a coach. I understand this part of the deal. All right, you want to make the opponent sound really, really big and tough. So you got your guys all fired up. You got the crowd fired up. It's going to be an awesome game, right? Well, no. It's going to be a big Georgia victory is what it's going to be. All right, coming up next, we got Wes Poppin. Jordan, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go then. Final word. Got more on Georgia in the final word today, too. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Just got home from Illinois. Lock the front door. Final segment of the Buck Belue Show. Well, today, not forever, just today. I believe. You never know about these things. Playing a little sound off the Jordan D. Armand soundtrack right there. You don't have this one on your soundtrack?
No, actually, I might. It's mostly Migos.
Okay.
But this is okay, too.
So what'd you make of the Georgia picker for game day tomorrow?
I was going to bring that up, Buck. Jeff Foxworthy.
Okay. All right.
But what are your thoughts? I honestly didn't know he was a fan.
And look, Foxworthy has done some great work, and right here in Atlanta, I believe, Atlanta resident.
Oh, yeah. I used to live right down the road from on the south side.
Yeah, really nice guy from what I hear, too.
Well,
never met him.
He's a big dog fan, so.
Yeah, I guess that's great.
I would have liked Quavo maybe as the guest
Quavo's
picker.
Quavo's done it, like, what, five times?
I know, but it's just, you know, it's a recruiting tactic. Like, who doesn't want to see Quavo on
goodness.
The TV?
Let's get Terrence Edwards in there. Let's get Tavares King, maybe somebody like that.
I like that.
One of these big-timers that played here at Georgia.
Have Matthew Stafford come back just
I like Harris English.
That was nice.
The last time. Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, we got to see the Ryder Cup trophy, too.
Can we get rid of Quavo as any kind of Atlanta resident fan of Atlanta teams? I think he came out and said that the Falcons would get a better shot winning ball games if he was quarterback over Matt Ryan. I think Quavo just needs, I think, just
well,
run
away. Reportedly, he's a really good high school quarterback.
So he played at Berkmar when I was at Parkview my senior year. He was a junior, and he led statistics. Here we go on statistics again.
Uh-oh.
But he led Gwinnett County in passing.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Here's a statistic for you. He won it last quarter in the NFL. A quarter of a minute, that is, 25 seconds.
Well, look, we don't want to step on this segment that you've prepared, Jordan.
It's okay.
So what do you say we go ahead and see what's popping?
Let's get it.
Let's find out what's popping.
Well,
what's popping?
At the beginning of the year, everybody thought maybe Spencer Rattler may go number one. He may be a Heisman Trophy winner, you know, at the end of the season. Well,
again, that was hogwash. You know what that was based on? The fact that he was a five-star recruit. And that Lincoln Riley is a quarterback whisperer, and they're going to throw it like 1,000 times this season. So he would have all the stats that a guy would need to win the Heisman.
Well, he's also got to be a team player, which, you know, a viral video happened last week over the win of Texas. You know, he walked off the field. His teammates were celebrating, and he was walking into the locker room. But his dad came out and basically, he said that they were going to be looking at the NFL, but they were going to keep their options open. He may not be at Oklahoma next year, and he may not be in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, it looks like with the way that backup quarterback came in and performed, I don't know if they're going to miss Rattler that much.
Well, and obviously the fans haven't been too fond of him either.
Well, I just watched the way the team reacted when they pulled Rattler out of the game. And you had Lincoln Riley put in Caleb Williams, this freshman quarterback, and the way the team reacted on the sideline, it seemed like they wanted Caleb Williams to take over as the quarterback of the Oklahoma Sooners.
Well, I know
they were so excited, man.
I know we talked off air, but a lot of people have seen QB1 on Netflix.
Right, I saw some of that.
And Spencer Rattler was on there. And
he seemed a little entitled even then.
I wouldn't want him to be my teammate, you know?
Yeah, selfish. He's also a 6-foot pocket passer. Now, is that going to translate?
Well,
Caleb Williams looks like he's the guy. And look, Lincoln,
he looks
I was
good.
Saying this earlier this week, he's going to see how it goes on Saturday, tomorrow against TCU. Come on, man. Everybody knows it's Caleb Williams' job right now.
We shall see. So moving on, obviously, you know, it's heavy college football here, but there's still being football played in other conferences, Buck. You know, ACC still has football going on. Virginia Tech.
Oh, I thought they maybe had called it a season.
Well, they may have thrown in the towel, but they're still playing games, right? So Virginia Tech came out and said they are going to be limiting attendance because of embarrassing behavior. Have you ever heard of that?
What would that entail for a college student? Getting drunk, passing out in the stands?
They said basically there was, at one point last week, there was a stampede going into the stadium, and a bunch of people got in without tickets.
Oh.
But I don't know if you, I mean, I don't know. I mean, limiting
fans. That is a really passionate fan base. They pack Lane Stadium, man, and they rocked that thing.
Well, they may be missing half of their crew.
I think Georgia, one of the few teams out there that has gone 100% attendance.
Yeah, sold out games, and I know it's sold out tomorrow, too, with SEC Nation and College Game Day.
Yeah, Kentucky better look out.
Oh, Myles Garrett, obviously a big NFL player. He was a five-star. I found this a little funny. He had, you know, obviously Halloween's coming up, and he, in front of his house, has a quarterback graveyard.
Who does he have in it?
Mac Jones, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. I like like Myles Garrett besides that punch that he threw like a year ago.
Yeah, look, I mean, football, a very emotional game. Look, I'm going to cut him a break on what happened with the Steelers quarterback. Happens along the way. Got to expect it as a quarterback. You're going to get some of that treatment.
Are you guys having a hard time finding the Halloween decorations, by the way? I know we got, like, supply chain issues in the U.S. right now. I can't find Halloween lights to save my life.
Well, we pack them up, man. We do it every one of these holidays. I've got, like, containers up in the attic and the garage. They're all labeled. And I believe it was on Monday Kelly had me get those all down. We've got it decorated inside and out. We're ready to go.
This is my first year as a homeowner, so I'm trying to stock up here. I put an order in on Home Depot online, and they got back out. Now we're actually sold out. Can't find them anywhere.
You know, the one thing I remember is a quarterback growing up in Valdosta, Georgia. The starting quarterback my freshman year quit the team like a week, 2 weeks before the first game. Just walked out.
He did
quit.
A Jamie Newman?
The backup quarterback injured his ankle. Next thing I know, they're saying, Ballou, get on in there. You're the starting quarterback. And I was horrible, man. I threw like four interceptions a game. We went 3-7. And all during that season, we would wake up on Saturday morning, and there would be 8 to 10 for sale signs in our front yard.
Really?
And my dad, he finally said, son, you're going to have to start playing better, or we're going to have to move.
I mean, he was right.
Yeah, we started playing a little better after that.
Yeah. It worked out for you.
You got to figure it out first.
Well, maybe Spencer Rattler can figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe
it doesn't look good for him at Oklahoma right now.
Crimson Tide, too. They need to figure it out.
Yeah, I think Saban has that team's attention this week. As I was saying earlier in the show, I'm expecting them to bounce back in a big, big way against Mississippi State. Do you realize that's just down the road, Tuscaloosa and Starkville? Just a short drive down the road. Don't look for a hotel room in that area tonight. You won't find one.
I mean, Saban did come out and say that he doesn't think that they're viewed as an elite team.
How about, you know, the monster gets beat one time and you figure, well, it's over and done.
I mean, I had a great day Saturday. I did.
You don't get to see Alabama lose too much.
And I enjoyed it.
Jordan, great job. We appreciate it. It's time now for the final word. Coach Kirby Smart and his staff, they've done a wonderful, awesome job recruiting and stockpiling this Georgia football team with big-time talent all across the board, offense, defense. Only Alabama has been able to do it better. However, what in the world is going on with all these injuries? Are the practices too physical? Is the strength and conditioning program flawed? These guys for the Bulldogs, they're going down left and right. I mean, the injury list is like 3 pages long every week, especially at wide receiver. Are they doing too much core? Are they doing max squats prior to practice or the games? I mean, I just don't get it. Are these guys... Maybe they're just not as tough as the players in previous decades. I'm just saying. I heard somebody say, well, Buck, it's just bad luck. Well, look, I don't believe in bad luck. I don't get it. All these injuries. Something's going on. Thank goodness the next man up at Georgia is another 5-star. Want to invite you to check out Buck's Beat podcast. I'm doing a deep dive into the quarterback situation. It is a big-time run-first offense. 70% run when Stetson Bennett's the quarterback. When JT's been in the game, they've been a pass-first offense. So a huge change when the quarterback changes there for Georgia. So I dive into that. Plus, Chuck Smith, hashtag Dr. Rush, teaching this pass rushing skills all around Metro Atlanta. He comes on and he breaks down this Georgia defensive line, the talent they've got, and how they will fall in the next NFL draft as far as Adam Anderson, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis. So I want to invite you to check out the podcast. And remember, Buck Ballou's College Football Today Show tomorrow morning, 7 to 10, right here on The Fan. We'll get you ready for another big day in college football. Stay tuned. Nick and Chris are coming up next. Here on The Fan.
Great to see you, Buck.
Hold on tight, Coach.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.